This is the AAOS Advocacy Podcast, part of the Bone Beat Orthopedic Podcast channel. We cover health policy issues impacting musculoskeletal care, as well as how our orthopedic surgeon listeners can become advocates for our patients in the profession. I'm your host, Adam Brueggemann, chair of the AAOS Advocacy Council. Welcome to this episode of the AAOS Advocacy Podcast. We have a special guest today joining us in person from the AAOS 2024 annual meeting in San Francisco and just before his keynote address, which is coming up shortly at the OrthoPAC luncheon. I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Will Flannery, best known by his social media moniker, Dr. Glockenflecken. He's a fellow Texan, grew up in the Houston area, did some comedy back there, guns up, went to Texas Tech, and then did med school at Dartmouth, residency at Iowa in ophthalmology, another fellow surgeon, and in his free time hangs out with his kids and wife, who is now part of his podcast and social media presence. So welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, she runs things for me. And I appreciate you calling me a surgeon. I feel like sometimes ophthalmologists are, you know, like surgeon light a little bit. But so I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody knows you've got 2.2 million followers on social media.
Whoa, 2.2. It's like over four now. So
there we go. Over 4 million followers.
Don't sell me short. I've been spending a lot of time on social media. All right, you got to give me my due here.
There we go. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Yeah. We're all over, regardless of where you get your social media from. And then you now have an email that you can get and you can subscribe to where people can get all of your content in one location.
Yeah, we got so many things, the podcast, and we're expanding the podcast now. I do these knock eye episodes where I just talk about eyeball stuff. Basically, I have all these things and we're trying to bring them into one place. And I've heard that people really love email. One more email, if you want it, it's there. You can check it out at glockenflecken.com. You can sign up.
There you go. I am subscribed. I encourage everybody else to subscribe. Maybe we can talk a little bit about how you got involved in this. I know a little bit of your story, but our listeners probably don't. How did you get into comedy and then comedy surrounding medical care?
Yeah, I first started doing stand-up comedy growing up in Houston. There was a comedy club that had a great open mic. So I'd go with a buddy of mine who was 17 years old. So we couldn't be at the comedy club past like 9 p.m. That was like the rule for minors. So we'd go and do 5-minute sets to like maybe 10, 12 people. It was fun. And I eventually, though, decided that wasn't going to be the career for me. For a long time growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. And so went to med school, but continued comedy as just a little hobby that I would do every so often. Not a lot of time in medical education and training, but I kept that going just every so often. And then eventually life got too busy to do stand-up. And so I turned to social media. There's a lot of things in my life. I've had medical issues that comedy has helped me process. I've had testicular cancer, cardiac arrest. I've been open about all these things. And so comedy's always been that one constant along with my family to help me pull me through some of these difficult times in my life. And at first it was stand-up and then going to social media, Twitter, and now making the videos. And it's been very cathartic for me. And then also, since the pandemic, has seemed to really help a lot of people just to be able to have a laugh at the end of a long day. And so, yeah, that's, and the medical aspect of it, when you're a med student and all you're thinking is medicine, that's your entire brain is filled up with all this medicine. So I really couldn't do any other type of comedy. I just didn't have the bandwidth to try to even think about anything non-medical. So it really just made a lot of sense for me.
What do you think is special about humor that allows us to break through kind of the noise and the comments that are out there about medicine? Why does that seem to really just resonate with people today?
I think that just healthcare in general is really hard right now for both physicians, but also any healthcare professional and also patients. It's just, we have a lot of problems in the healthcare system and burnouts at an all-time high across all specialties. And so I really think I came along and doing this medical comedy at the right time to just give people an outlet. And it's helped me in my life just using humor as that coping mechanism. And so I think people needed it. And then you add the advocacy stuff. I like to say I'm tricking people into learning things about the U.S. healthcare system because no one's going to sit there and watch a video about pharmacy benefit managers. But if I like make it funny, people are more likely to watch it. And then by the end of it, oh man, I actually learned something there. So it's kind of been my strategy the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been great. And it's nothing like a personal experience or a personal event to really draw us in and get us excited about something. I think that's really your great story, is that you've personally had to interact with the healthcare system and been on the other side of the curtain, so to speak. And being on the other side of the curtain, being the patient, has taught you, I think, from what I've heard you say, a lot about the system. And you've had to interact with it in ways that we don't generally interact as physicians, and learned what the perspective is of a patient, which is really intriguing.
That was really a big turning point in my comedy. And when I started doing videos about prior authorizations and all these behind the scenes little things in the healthcare system that is not accessible to the general public, people don't know a lot of these things. And as I started to experience the healthcare system as a patient, I started to realize like just what our patients are going through, just what people are going, just average people on a day-to-day basis. It was like when I had my cardiac arrest, I had a ton of surprise bills. I was dealing with that. It was like $20,000 worth of bills. I mean, the insurance was supposed to pay for it, but they didn't. And so I just got a little taste for the first time of what average people go through. And it was confusing for me as a physician. So you can only imagine what it's like for people that don't have any kind of medical background. And so that experience, which was in a lot of ways harder to deal with, more stressful than the actual cardiac arrest, really told me that I need to change my comedy. I need to start talking about things like prior authorizations, about automated claim denials, about these things that are putting so much stress on people. And so that experience, going through that as a patient, really did change things for me.
Yeah, and you've done this 30 days of U.S. healthcare that you put together, which was great. We hit a lot of really cool topics. And of course, you've got the Ortho Bro that I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with. But Jimothy, the hospital administrator, you've got insurance, you've got private equity, all different specialties, where you've gone over all of this stuff and talked about how health policy is important. And I think you're not just educating patients. I really do think that you're educating some of our fellow colleagues who don't really understand the problems that are going on in the system.
Well, I had to learn about all this stuff myself. I always use pharmacy benefit managers as an example. Like, I was a physician for 5 years before I even heard that term or like paid attention to what that is. And so I had to do a lot of research myself. So yeah, I do think that I try to, because I think these are such important topics, I try to make these videos, these skits about the healthcare system accessible to anybody. And so I'm glad that I've gotten feedback that it's helpful for healthcare professionals as well, in addition to people outside of healthcare. And I think it's important. Education just in general is a really important part of advocacy.
That's right. Bring back the veil. Open up everything. Be transparent. Help people understand what's going on.
Yeah. How can you fix the problems if you don't know what the problems are?
Absolutely.
And so once people are on the same page, they know like where the pain points are, then we can start tackling some of those issues.
I completely agree. So when you started this, kind of getting back to when you were starting, did you really intend to do health policy advocacy, or was it really just a humorous take on medicine?
Just like most things in my life, it was so stressful and I had just relieved that stress through comedy. It's always been my coping mechanism. So that was the initial impetus for doing this, is because I was dealing with all of it. I was like, oh, I'll just make fun of it. It's going to help me process. And it just so happened to really resonate with a lot of people. Every time I'd put a video out there about something in the healthcare system, I'd get a lot of views, but it was the comments, just thousands and thousands of comments, which is different than any of my other content that I've done. And it was all people talking about their own experience in healthcare. So I'd opened up the floodgates. Everybody just had a place to vent all their anger and frustration. That's when I realized, like, there's something here.
Absolutely. And you've really touched a nerve within the greater U.S. community of healthcare physicians, providers, and patients. Are there any topics you feel are really, whether it's because people click on them or they just really resonate with you, that you really think from a policy advocacy standpoint are really the top one or two issues that you're seeing today?
Yeah. Prior authorization is the big one. That's a tactic that health insurance, I'm talking mostly to physicians. We all know this is a big issue, that it's undermining our knowledge base, our decision-making, and it's an administrative burden. It's a burden on us and our practices. It's a burden on patients. And so that's one place where I feel like shedding a light is really helpful and just keeping the attention on it. The other one, another one is just the consolidation of healthcare. Is a huge issue. And I don't think we totally realize, I don't think I even realize the downstream effects of United Healthcare vertically integrating. All these health insurance companies, these big corporations, vertically integrating, just owning. Now, UnitedHealthcare is the largest employer of physicians. If that doesn't send a shiver down your spine, I don't know what will. That's scary to think about because they don't care about physicians. They don't care about anybody but themselves and making money. And so that vertical integration, consolidation of healthcare, and what also ties into that is the ban on physician-owned hospitals. All the data we have suggests that outcomes are better when physicians own hospitals, and physicians are a major voice in running healthcare. And there's really, other than political reasons, there's no good reason for keeping that ban. And all of these things, they're all interconnected, right? And trying to shed light on it is, because I'm not smart enough or connected enough to actually enact laws to make this happen. But if I can just, you know, shine a spotlight, use my platform to do that, then I feel like I'm doing something. And hopefully I am. And people, we can all, you know, continue the momentum.
I'll tell you, I spend a fair amount of time in DC in Congress, and I know several staffers who quote your TikToks, your Instagram, YouTube. They talk about what you do. It helps them to understand it. So you're not just reaching now patients and physicians, but you're actually reaching legislators who are hearing your stories and better understanding and better able to tell the stories of why we need to make change in policy.
That makes sense, because the couple of times I've actually gone to Congress and talked with, all the staffers are like under 25.
Yes.
They're very much the TikTok generation. So that's good.
Yep. They are. We have a lot of people who are maybe not as good at social media, but what would you say to physicians about advocating through social media and getting started? What's a good way for someone to get started if they just wanted to be more involved and wanted to educate the people that are around them, their friends, their family members through social media? How could they do that?
Yeah. Certain social media platforms are better than others at getting your content out there. Honestly, TikTok has a lot of problems. There's a ton of misinformation, which is why I think it's more important than ever for trusted voices, physician voices, to be on TikTok. That's probably the biggest source of misinformation out there. And TikTok is actually, it can be a big time suck if you're sitting there just scrolling through TikTok. But as far as making content and putting it out there, you have a higher likelihood of reaching a bigger audience through TikTok, just the way the algorithm works. And so that's probably the platform that I would, if I could restart now and just start from scratch, I would start on TikTok, just because you can get your message out there a little bit easier than other platforms. But even if you're not inclined to do social media, even Facebook, which has been around forever, that's easier for connecting locally. That's a big advantage that Facebook has, is that you can get local groups and just reach the people around you. And a lot of change that we've seen in healthcare, it doesn't have to be federal, it can be state level. And so getting on Facebook and talking about the challenges that you've had as a physician, challenges your patients have had, spreading it locally, talking at your state society, medical society, going to the state houses and talking about these things. That's great too. You don't have to be an internet TikTok comedian ophthalmologist. That's that's one pathway, all right? But there's lots of ways to do this, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have a giant audience. It can be on a smaller scale, and that's also so important. And just getting out there and doing something, we do need trusted voices on social media.
Yeah, it's so incredibly important. I remember you did something recently on eye drops and the whole eye drop issue, and where should you get your eye drops from? What kind of eye drops should you be using? And it's not just comedy, right? It's educating the public. And not all of your content is always comedy related. A lot of it is through some of your podcasts that are about the eye. It's really educational. It's helping people understand. So there's a breadth of topics we can cover within social media.
Oh, yeah. We're at such a high level sometimes with our knowledge base. We've done a decade of training. And so sometimes it can be challenging to pull it back a little bit and realize that people don't have the knowledge base about some of these complex issues. And so being able to just come at it from a more foundational level is really helpful, not just for the general public who doesn't have any medical education, but also for our fellow colleagues who are in different areas of medicine, right? I realized a long time ago, like nobody really knows much about the eyeball. And I don't have to be talking about the genetic mutations of a primary opening or glaucoma. Sometimes just like, how do you check vision? Like that can be really helpful. And that works with medical topics, also with advocacy. It's okay to be pretty basic with this stuff because people need that foundational level of knowledge.
Absolutely. Yeah. So many physicians are apprehensive about talking with their patients on a social media platform. We tend to be relatively private individuals. We tend to not be out there in the public speaking about things. What would you say to people who are maybe apprehensive about getting onto these platforms or communicating in other ways with their patients?
I think we have to realize that people get their information on social media now. That's where the public is. That's where our patients are getting their information. And so who do you want to give them that information, right? Because if they don't get it from us, they're going to get it from somebody that doesn't have the training, doesn't have the knowledge, and is going to give them bad information. And so it can be a little scary to put yourself out there. And again, you don't have to take a bunch of risks. You don't have to tell jokes that you're afraid of offending somebody and getting yourself fired. Trust me, I've been there. I have made mistakes being the doctor comedian on social media. You don't have to do that. And just take in small steps and realizing that social media is not going to go away. And people are, as the next generation, the Gen Z come, that they're already getting all their information from social media. And so we need to be there. And it's just like anything, it's a skill, learning how to post on social media, how to post safely, what to post, what not to post. And that's a topic for another day. But I think it's important to understand that it's not going to get any easier. And sometimes you just have to jump in and do it and understand that you're doing it for a good reason, because we need your voice. Our voices are important. We have a perspective that's unique. We are part of the front line of medicine, and we see the problems. We see the problems in our own profession, the problems that patients are having. And so if people are going to be on social media, if that's where we're getting information, we need to be there providing that perspective, showing them that.
That's wonderful. And a great note to end on from my perspective. So what an incredible conversation to have with Dr. Flannery, better known as Dr. Glockenflecken. Another shameless plug, please subscribe to his podcast and his channels. I think you'll learn a lot, educate you on advocacy issues we're fighting for here at the Academy. And globally, our colleagues in every aspect of medicine are fighting for. It's so important that we're together as a house of medicine, educating the public and educating Congress about what we need to get done. So thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to your talk later today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AAOS Advocacy Podcast, part of the Bonebeat Orthopedic Podcast channel, with production and sound design by Mission Based Media. If you like what you heard today, please consider offering a rating or review and sharing the podcast with your colleagues. You can learn more information about this topic and other AAOS advocacy efforts by visiting aaos.org/thebonebeat-advocacy.